Navy brass say they're losing a game of catch-up when it comes to taking care of critical facilities. They say a lack of funding and the continued deterioration of installments has led to cuts in quality of life programs. While the recently enacted two-year budget deal gives Navy personnel programs some reprieve, officials say they still don't have enough to keep up with crumbling buildings. We get more now from Federal News Radio Scott Massioni.
The Navy's bailing water too slowly out of a leaking boat, says Commander of Navy Installations Command, Vice Admiral Dixon Smith. Smith tells lawmakers the Navy's funding the restoration of its facilities only enough to maintain its most critical infrastructure. And that maintenance is only for the short term. That's causing an even bigger problem, considering the Defense Department told the services in 2014 that they must fund their facility sustainment programs to 90%. Smith says that's just not possible. The Navy's currently funding facility sustainment at 80%, and that number is going to drop by 2.5% more each year unless something changes. Here's Smith's remarks on Navy facilities to lawmakers during a House Armed Services Readiness Subcommittee hearing.
When we take risk now, we're pushing that risk out. And so we keep an eye on that very closely, and that long-term risk, as we move towards that, that becomes then what we focus on. So what we are putting ourselves into is a reactive mode. And so where we're no longer, we don't as much look forward and are ahead of the problem and prioritize, we become reactive. So we get to the point now where we don't fix things, repair facilities, infrastructure that is required, that we know is coming required, until it breaks. And so that means we take money away from things that we've programmed for to fix the now. If it's an operational necessity, or if it's an air conditioning system in a child development center. I mean, we just had this week a boiler system go down for a child development center. And so we weren't expecting that. So we took those funds from something else to get that facility back up to take care of our families and get those kids back in that CDC.
That leads to operational challenges that go beyond funding, Navy officials say. Commanding officer at Naval Air Station Oceana, Captain Lou Shager, explains some of those troubles.
Oftentimes it feels like we're treating symptoms and not the root problem. And I think the long-term sustainability of, for example, hangars at Oceana, all the hangars have issues and challenges. A lot of roofs are leaking. We have some fire protection challenges. If I had enough money to repair all of the hangars right now, I couldn't do it because right now, we shifted squadrons to other hangars, so there's not room, there's not capacity to move all these squadrons around while we're repairing hangars. We can do one at a time. And so that's why it's really crucial to have a plan laid out where it's predictable, and the Commodore can count on this hangar being repaired at this time, so when the squadron returns from deployment, they can get back into their training cycle. And so I think, segueing or continuing on with Admiral's thoughts, I think if we don't have that sustained programmatic funding, it'll exponentially get more difficult to manage those risks as we continue on.
Shager added that of the 13 barracks he's in charge of, 10 are substandard. Part of the problem is that even when the Navy has better sustainment funding, like it does now with the budget deal, it still cannot do the required maintenance on buildings. Most facilities are only worked on after something breaks. At that point, the Navy has to take more funds from planned sustainment programs to repair the essential parts. All of the funding problems and derelict buildings have trickled down to the personnel and service members. As said before, barracks are substandard, and other quality of life services like gym hours and daycares are taking a hit too. Here's Smith again.
When sequestration occurred, we had to reduce a lot of our quality of life facilities. So we reduced hours in the gyms, we reduced hours in our single sailor facilities. We've been able to now buy some of that back. But when the budget starts getting pressurized more, that's where we go. So we still provide gym hours, we still provide the resource, we just don't provide the volume of it. Just this year, we have gone back and increased our gym hours an additional 4 hours every day. That's been very well received. We're increasing right now some of our CDC hours. Our single sailor hours have come back. And so we watch that closely. I really watch that in our facilities that what I refer to as over the horizon, so not in metro areas where there's not much to do outside the gate. We also, from a prioritization standpoint, focus overseas, focus remote areas, and then focus in the metro areas.
Shager explains the importance of those programs and where he's seeing cuts on the ground.
I know that for Fleet and Family Support Center services, those are crucial for quality of life for our sailors and their families. That peace of mind when a sailor or Marine is deployed, their family can go to a resource which they know they can get support. I know recently the Navy has initiated two programs that I think are wonderful, the Navy Wounded Warrior Safe Harbor Program, the Navy Gold Star Program, two programs that are very, very important, as you know. But I think it is a zero-sum game, and one of the a program that we're in the process of phasing out is the Relocation Assistance Program. So in a perfect world, we'll be able to keep all these programs for these families, but we know that that's not the reality. And how do we mitigate that? Well, we ask other entities on our installation to see if they can assist in managing that relocation assistance.
But even if the Navy were to get the funding it needs, there's no guarantee it'll be able to catch up to where it wants to be. Commanding Officer of Navy Region Southeast, Rear Admiral Mary Jackson, also testified with Smith & Shager. She says even if the Navy has 100% funding, she doesn't see how the Navy can reach its full spectrum readiness. Jackson says the Navy's facilities and installments have degraded so significantly over time, it's hard for her to imagine how the Navy can get as far as it needs to go. The Navy isn't the only one dealing with this issue either. Both the Army and the Marine Corps have told Congress they are forced to compromise infrastructure modernization due to lack of funding. The Air Force is set to testify before the House Armed Services Ready Subcommittee on Infrastructure this week. Commander of Marine Corps Installations Command, Major General Charles Hudson, says the Marine Corps facilities projects are about to hit a billion-dollar bow wave of requirements. Hudson says the Marines will not be able to pay for that bow wave due to reduced budgets. As a result, required training is being delayed because of a lack of available ranges. Here's Hudson testifying before Congress in December.
In recognition of the currently constrained fiscal environment, the Marine Corps has been required to sacrifice further range modernization for the sustainment and recapitalization of existing capacities and capabilities. This means that we are unable to adequately address the required training enhancements associated with new and emerging operational requirements. Your Marines are the nation's expeditionary force in readiness. We focus our resources on maintaining the readiness of our forward-deployed Marines and those about to deploy. Although our investment in future modernization in our infrastructure and less than what we believe is required, we will remain diligent stewards of the assets provided to us.
Not to be left out, the Defense Department is now worried its facilities will need upgrades to deal with cyber attacks. Since more and more building systems are connected to the internet, they become more susceptible to cyber attacks. DOD's Undersecretary for Defense Installations and Environment, John Conger, says DOD will have to start investing real money in cybersecurity of its buildings. From Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com, and 1500 AM.
Read Scott's report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to FederalNewsRadio.com/FederalDrive and click Share with Friends.